everyone. We're going to get started now. My name is Ashley, and I'm a member of Q-Team and the Prisoner Correspondence Project, two of the groups that are helping to co-present the event tonight, along with Tadamin, Open Door Books, Project N, and the Certain Days Freedom for Political Prisoners calendar. So I was asked to introduce Laura and Susie this evening and provide a bit of context for the event tonight, which I'll do shortly. But first, I just wanted to run through a few housekeeping details. Premièrement, comme j'ai dit avant, s'il y a des gens qui auraient besoin de la traduction, il y a Pete juste au fond de la salle, par là, qui va faire de la traduction. Secondly, I wanted to be sure to thank the various organizations that made this event possible tonight. So Project 10, the 2110 Center for Gender Advocacy, and the Quebec Public Interest Research Groups of Concordia and McGill. Most of the groups that came together to put on the event tonight are working groups of CUPR Concordia or CUPR McGill or both. And it's through the logistical and financial support that the PERGs here in Montreal are able to provide to their working groups that make exciting collaborative events like this one possible. If you want any more information about any of the groups that are mentioned tonight, just check out the table in the lobby. There's lots of information and stuff you can take home. I wanted also to be sure to thank the Anarchist Book Fair Collective, both for squeezing us into the schedule this weekend, but also just for all their hard work in general. On that note, oh yeah. Okay, so with that out of the way, I just guess we can get started. So thanks everyone for coming to hear Laura Whitehorn and Susie Day speak. It's kind of hard to know where to begin in introducing two organizers like Laura and Susie, who have such a wealth and variety of radical organizing experience over the past several decades. Of course, Laura Whitehorn is perhaps most widely known for her involvement in the revolutionary group The Weather Underground, and her later involvement in the bombings of several U.S. buildings and monuments in the 1980s, acts for which she spent 14 years behind bars. But Laura's commitment to social justice work started far earlier than this. In her continued support for the Black Panther Party and the Black Liberation Movement, her membership in groups like Students for a Democratic Society and the John Brown Anti-Klan Committee, among others. Since being released from prison in 1999, Laura's been busy doing work on several different things, including political prisoner justice work and HIV/AIDS organizing, which are two things that she also worked on while in prison. She's currently working as a senior editor for PAWS magazine, which is a publication for HIV-positive people. With us today, too, is Laura's partner, Susie Day, writer and activist. Laura and Susie first met when Susie was doing interviews with Laura and her co-defendants in the so-called resistance conspiracy trials, and exposing the realities faced by political prisoners in the U.S. is a recurrent theme in Susie's writing and her activism, as well as labor justice issues and a lot of other topics. Her commentary on things near and dear to the left is both insightful and quite often hilarious, which anyone who's had a chance to read her column, that her humor column that she writes for several gay and feminist publications, would certainly agree with. And I think we're going to get a chance to hear from some of these columns a little bit later.
It's $10.
Blustered. So anyways, I guess it's not hard to understand why so many groups would be excited to bring both Laura and Susie here to speak this evening. There's obviously a lot we can learn from their experiences and perspectives on radical organizing. The question is, I guess, then how to learn from these experiences without getting lost in some kind of nostalgic or overly romanticized view of this era known as the 60s. And
error.
And more importantly, what strategies, approaches to organizing, and directions from the, for the future that we can draw upon and adapt to our own current social and political landscapes. So what can we learn about building stronger support for our political prisoners in a context of increasingly repressive prison practices and with so many of our political prisoners and prisoners of war from the very movements that inspire us still behind bars? How can we continue to support the various struggles being fought on the front lines by the most marginalized members of our society, especially in the face of racist, right-wing backlash against communities of color under the auspices of the war on terror and in the context of the current worldwide economic crisis? What, if any, is the relevance of things like direct action and armed struggle in our organizing today as compared to 20 or 30 years ago? And finally, how can we build better links between different struggles like queer liberation, Palestine solidarity, and prisoner justice today? These are some of the questions that we, as the organizers of the event, came together to put on the table when we were trying to decide what exactly we wanted Laura and Susie to speak on tonight. And in the context of the Anarchist Book Fair, which brings together so many people from all over the place working on a lot of different struggles, we felt it was important to give space to kind of reflect on the histories of the activism that we draw upon and think about the ways in which these serve to function and contribute to how we organize today. So in the 1980s, when Laura Whitehorn and her comrades set bombs off in places like the US Capitol building, in an Israeli aircraft industries building, and the South African consulate, they did so as they did so as white Americans protesting violent US imperialism and support for oppressive regimes abroad. They did so in response to dire situations in places like Grenada, in Palestine, in South Africa, just as they did in protest of violent and repressive policing and brutality at home. In an interview given while in prison, Laura spoke about doing this kind of anti-imperialist organizing as an out lesbian. And she said, quote, "I think it's very important for people to be able to struggle for a variety of goals without setting up a hierarchy or exclusive list. I will continue to join groups whose main program is, for example, anti-racism or support for Palestine or Puerto Rico, because those things are just as necessary for my liberation as women's and lesbian liberation are. And I won't demand that my liberation be made part of every agenda. But I won't ever deny my identity, my right to be respected, and the urgency and legitimacy of lesbian, gay, and women's liberation either." End quote.
They don't want.
So when the Weather Underground was organizing, it was happening at a time at the height of fights for black liberation in the States, similarly fights for women's liberation, queer liberation, indigenous sovereignty, the list goes on. And while simultaneously anti-colonial fights for self-determination were being fought all over the world. And so in that context, it was perhaps a little bit easier or maybe more obvious to see the links between the various struggles that were going on. But while we may not currently be organizing in a context where we would honestly say we can see signs of the revolution just around the corner, I would argue that Laura's words ring as true as ever today. And if anything, things may even have reached a new level of urgency. With the recent bombings or attacks of the people of Gaza, or the expansion of US empire into places like Pakistan, the ever-growing American prison industrial complex, or the increasing attacks and scapegoating of migrants and other racialized communities in North America, the fundamental necessity for building a movement that is broad-based, anti-racist, and anti-imperialist, and that takes the lead from members of the most marginalized parts of our society still remains. It's why groups like the Prisoner Correspondence Project here in Montreal are fighting to support queer and trans inmates while insisting that no queer movement is a just and radical one if it's not committed to prisoner justice and prison abolition, especially given the disproportionately high number of queer and trans people behind bars. It's why queers here in Montreal, in Toronto, in the Bay Area, and other places are demanding that members, that our communities take an active role in the fight against Israeli apartheid, just as they did in the fight against South African apartheid, recognizing that there can never be queer liberation under a racist and colonial occupation. And why groups like Tadaman, who are committed to fighting for freedom and self-determination in Palestine and other parts of the Middle East, recognize the grave importance of prisoner justice everywhere, given the thousands upon thousands of Palestinians who are Palestinian political prisoners imprisoned by Israel at any given moment. And why, in order to fight against Western imperialism and the war on terror abroad, it must also stand up against the racist and Islamophobic policies exercised here, but by such violent means as surveillance, profiling, detention, incarceration, and deportation to torture of Arab and Middle Eastern people in North America. And why those of us working on political prisoner struggles here strive hard to build links with political prisoner movements elsewhere, knowing full well that those of us organizing on the left in Canada and the US have a hell of a lot to learn from the ways in which political prisoners are prioritized by social justice movements in other parts of the world, just as we do from spending more time speaking with and fighting for the freedom of our own political prisoners. So yes, the precise context may have shifted, but it's not hard to realize the extent to which our struggles remain all too similar to those that were being fought 20 or 30 years ago. In our day-to-day grind, it's rare that we allow ourselves to take a step back and situate our work in the longer trajectory of radical change. And that's why having people like Laura and Susie here tonight to help us do that is both exciting and important. Their experiences help us better understand that trajectory so that we can try to avoid reinventing the wheel all the time and also try and avoid getting lost in the nostalgia of errors like the 60s. So whether it be taking part in the first ever prison riot in a US women's institution or tirelessly supporting a comrade and loved one from outside through their years behind bars, whether it be helping to bomb the US Capitol building or writing articles to expose the increasing use of preventative detention against US political prisoners, whether it be forever having your name associated with the most controversial moments of your organizing years, or whether it be finding clever ways to poke fun at the left's fixation on revolutionary days gone by, Laura and Susie are two people who have given and continue to contribute significantly to fights for radical social justice in North America. And so, rather than carrying on any longer, I'll turn things over to them so that we can hear firsthand their own reflections on revolution. Please help me in welcoming Laura Whitehorn and Susie Day.
Thank you.